I write these words after having listened to an archival Pacifica radio speech of Price Cobbs from 1968. And the progressive radio folks in fundraising mode said that they were struck by how relevant were his words. And in truth, anyone listening would have a difficult time if you ignored the occasional use of groovy and cats, from distinguishing them from any of the favored pundits on race that the progressive airwaves host in fundraising mode, or those incorporated in the speech of its regular programmers, for that matter. Now, I've been arguing that the messages they propagate do not further the necessary goal of unity, necessary if we want to end power, and I do. And what should be meant by ending power is another one of those conversations we should be having and would be having if we did indeed have an airwaves that serves we the people. So why is it that we've been treading water on this issue of race for centuries? Why is it we never hear Zora Neale Hurston's perspective on the issue? Why are we never encouraged to consider her castigation of her grandmother for trying to destroy her hope and force her to set her horizons low? And the blog 27 online of mine, Who's Loving You, Michael, has a poetic description, her poetic description of what I just said. Why do we never hear presented the words of the black sociologist Charles S. Johnson that Carl Polanyi tells us to listen to, and who I cite among the opening quotes in the chapter Progress in Waking Up, the book Freeing Ourselves from Work? And by the way, Carl Polanyi is an ancestor whose insights are far more pregnant and prescient and needed and worthy of being mined than any of those of the average pundit that the Pacifica Network treats us to today. We shouldn't have to be rediscovering these things over and over and over. We have to be able to see what advances our thought and then get on that track and keep pushing our thought forward. But we have to begin on what's true. Have in our hands and our minds what is true. Garbage in, garbage out. So we got to make sure what goes in is true. While Price Cobbs tells us that the damage caused by racial division began with the peculiar institution of chattel slavery in the Americas, Charles Johnson goes deeper. And this is a quote from Carl Polanyi's The Great Transformation. Quote, "It will be remembered that Adam Smith expected the land-divorced laborer to lose all intellectual interest." And pause. We were talking about that just last week, the earth as a source of power. Continuing, and McFarlane expected that, quote, "the knowledge of writing and accounts will every day become less frequent among the common people," unquote. That's a quote from McFarlane by Polanyi. And an interjection, George Eliot depicts this really well in her novel, Adam Bede, the vibrancy of thought that comes from unity with the earth. Returning to Polanyi, a generation later, Owen put down laborers' degradation to neglect in infancy and overwork, thus rendering them, quote, "incompetent from ignorance to make a good use of high wages when they can procure them," unquote. He himself paid them low wages and raise their status by creating for them, artificially, an entirely new cultural environment. The vices developed by the mass of the people were, on the whole, the same as characterized colored populations debased by disintegrating culture contact: dissipation, prostitution, thievishness, lack of thrift and providence, slovenliness, low productivity of labor, lack of self-respect and stamina. And here's, I'm going to interject again, life does not like to be forced. And when it's our brothers and sisters doing that forcing, that's deeply dispiriting. And when it's done in the name of rationality, that's deeply confusing. There's a lot of pain behind that quote unquote dissipation. Continuing. The spreading of market economy was destroying the traditional fabric of the rural society, the village community, the family, the old form of land tenure, the customs and standards that supported life within a cultural framework. And another interjection. Think about that in relation to the question I raised at the beginning, one of the questions I raised. How do race and other false divisions divert us from seeing the underlying structure? Continuing with Polanyi, by the 1830s, the social catastrophe of the common people was as complete as that of the Kaffir is today. One and alone, an eminent Negro sociologist, Charles S. Johnson, reversed the analogy between racial debasement and class degradation, applying it this time to the latter. Quote, in England, where incidentally the Industrial Revolution was more advanced than in the rest of Europe, the social chaos which followed the drastic economic reorganization converted impoverished children into the pieces that the African slaves were later to become. The apologies for the child serf system were almost identical with those of the slave trade, unquote. And that was Charles S. Johnson, quoted in Karl Polanyi's The Great Transformation. And yes, as Cobb says, the damage goes deep in how we're taught to think. And so, yes, it's internal. And yes, it's in all of us. But what is it, fundamentally? Why did Virginia Woolf say, thank God you heap abuse upon me? And why did Christopher Fry say, thank God our time is now, when wrong comes up to face us everywhere? And why did Zora Neale Hurston say, thank God I'm black? Short answer, because you see more of the whole, more from the vantage of the whole, more of the truth. And the truth is the wealth we need to get free.